How would you like to win the entire 18-book Christmas library of Arch books for children? Become a new member of our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, or upgrade your current membership before December 22nd. Your name will be added to a drawing, and the winner will receive an entire set of Christmas Arch books for children by Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner Wednesday, December 22nd. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today.
Story that's dear to Michelle and me as Christians, but it's a message that's universal. The child was born far from home to spread a simple message of love and redemption to every human being around the world.
Especially we praise you for Elizabeth, whom you have graciously received into your presence.
The beginning and the end of this story is attributable to a woman with extraordinary courage and extraordinary determination. And that's Elizabeth Smart.
I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm so thrilled with the verdict.
For the prayers of the saints, whether they are for big or small or even impossible things, are no bother to our Lord.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, Issues, etc.
Have you ever noticed that just about the time the crash, the nativity scene comes out on the lawn of the church or someplace in your neighborhood, the secularists come out too? They seem to be especially active in their animosity, if you will, toward all things Christian and Christmas around this time of the year. And yet there is a glaring inconsistency in their animosity. We're going to talk about that with Colleen Carroll Campbell live this Thursday, December the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us. We'll talk about a document called Protection of Marriage, a Shared Commitment. Then we'll do a movie review with Brian Godawa live this Thursday afternoon. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You say it's the most wonderful time of the year, maybe not for devout Christians, but definitely for their antagonists. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that the atheist activists are out in force this time of year with their bus ads, as we've seen in cities around the country, including St. Louis, with their billboards. The most famous one being the one they posted outside the Lincoln Tunnel, calling Christmas a myth and urging people to admit that they no longer believe in the myth of the biblical Christmas story, and all the rest of it. Planned Parenthood has their Choice on Earth cards, their sort of cute little abortion-oriented twist on the Peace on Earth biblical message. And, of course, at the Smithsonian in Washington, the National Portrait Gallery, there's a provocative new exhibit featuring an ant-covered crucifix when there was some outcry from Christians that this sort of Christmas season exhibit didn't quite mesh with the time of year that they were showing it. The museum officials, and the museum is, of course, supported by taxpayer dollars, they pulled that one video that showed the ant-covered crucifix to the outcry of all sorts of artistic and media elites who said this is religious tyranny gone amok. You know, these Christian fascists stopping us from having this artistic expression. Who cares that it's happening during Christmas time? So we've got all of this sort of stuff, and even here in St. Louis at Hope Lutheran School, the vandals stole Jesus, Mary, and Joseph from one of the few large public nativity scenes we still see on display in our lawsuit-averse culture. So, you know, it's not so much the most wonderful time of the year if you're a devout Christian who's not looking to see your faith mocked at every turn. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happens a lot of times in the midst of these so-called Christmas wars.
There seems to be little sense of proportion, and maybe it's just the insular nature of American secularists. But if you look at the broad swath across the globe, if you want to look for religious intolerance, there's no shortage of it. And yet I don't hear a lot from the secularists in America about the religious intolerance of, say, national Islam.
Well, that's exactly right. And what I wrote about this week in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was the fact that the same people who were crying censorship and religious tyranny at the Smithsonian pulling that ant-covered crucifix video, these were not folks you could hear making a peep earlier this decade when we saw radical Islamists terrorizing the Western world over a handful of cartoons that mocked Muhammad. And this is a campaign that's ongoing. We just saw the bombing in Sweden, and the terrorist, radical Islamist terrorist who took credit for it, specifically cited a cartoon by a Swedish artist that that he thought, you know, was degrading to Islam and merited death. We didn't hear these freedom fighters talking much when Comedy Central pulled a South Park episode earlier this year because it needled Muslims very gently. This is a show that is notorious for its anti-Christian attitudes and mockery, but, you know, you turn that satirical gaze toward Islam and suddenly the censors are out in full force and no one seems to mind. We also have not heard much from these, defenders of artistic freedom about the plight of Seattle artist Molly Norris, who is forced to give up her career and go into hiding. She changed her name, everything, because a fatwa was issued against her recently because she had dared protest the South Park censorship episode by drawing a tongue-in-cheek cartoon that called for an Everybody Draw Muhammad Day, and she drew an image of a teapot and, you know, a slice of bread and a basketball and called it Muhammad. And this, of course, provoked a death threat, and now she's in hiding. And, you know, who's taking up her cause? So there's a lot of talk about religious tyranny and these Christian fascists, but the reality is the same folks who like to act tough when it comes to Christians, they don't make a peep when they see genuine fascism rearing its head in the Islamic world.
The best reaction, in your estimation, because I think the knee-jerk reaction of many Christians is to kind of whine about this. But I sense that you say, especially near the end of your column, this is something that Christians ought to, while it is annoying, especially around the time of the Christmas holiday, Christians should simply accept this with the same kind of aplomb that we have worse things in Christian history.
Well, it's certainly true that we are still blessed in the United States with religious freedom, and we certainly don't have anywhere near the level of threats and certainly not persecution as Christians around the world experience it, including and especially Christians in predominantly Muslim countries who are literally losing their lives on a daily basis simply for cracking open their Bibles, daring to gather to worship together, and all of the rest. So we, of course, need to keep some perspective, and I don't think of whining is the right response. On the other hand, I do think it's important to note that those kind of situations where there is no religious freedom, they begin oftentimes with small encroachments. And we've seen this in Europe. There was a report out just last week that chronicled, it was a 5-year intense study, 40 pages, showing really pervasive discrimination against Christians in Western Europe at the hands of the secular governments, in the public realm, in the media, and it was a worrisome report. So while, of course, we don't want to equate an offensive billboard with what a Christian is suffering, say, in Iraq, I think we do need to speak out, and I think we, of course, need to also speak out, especially for those who are genuinely suffering, life-endangering persecution for their beliefs or lack of beliefs. And I think we need to challenge those who want to poke fun at the biblical Christmas story to turn their, anti-censorship zeal towards something a little more substantive and to stand on the side of all of us who believe that genuine faith should be something that you have the right to embrace and to follow your conscience. And we as Christians defend that right for everyone, whether you agree with us or not, and we call unbelievers to do the same. And so instead of arguing over manger scenes and Merry Christmas greetings, I would challenge the strident secularist in our midst to stand up and start defending freedom even when it's a little riskier, even in the face of radical Islam.
Finally, then, with about a minute, Colleen, do you think that we lack for kind of the intelligent, reasoned, calm Christian voice in the public square that at a time like this, when everything heats up on both sides of the secularist line, to simply say, Christmas is still a holiday rooted in history and in the reality of God's work in the world through his son Jesus Christ incarnate through the womb of the Virgin Mary. You may not believe it, but guess what? It happened, and we'll celebrate it.
That's right. You know, and I think we can do that with a smile on our faces. And I think we do need more voices like that. And I think it also begins with the way we as Christians celebrate Christmas. I mean, a lot of the fault for all of this craziness falls back on us for turning Christmas into just a, you know, an extended shopping season and turning Advent into one long Black Friday, Christmas into one long, you know, just sort of materialistic orgy, and then wondering why no one else seems to remember the reason for the season. We need to begin by remembering it ourselves and sort of dialing back all of our materialistic excesses in the midst of all the craziness around us and begin to witness once again to the saving message of Christ that comes to us in the form of a little baby this Christmas. And, you know, when we do that, that's the most provocative thing we can do of all, is to live differently in this culture and to show that Christmas actually still does matter, and not for the reasons either that the Black Friday throngs think it does, or those who think Christmas is just one big, you know, celebration of the winter solstice. We need to remind people that it's about Christ. And the best way to do that is by showing that we ourselves remember it.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Now when we come back, Pastor Matt Harrison is going to join us. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Recently, he, along with many other religious leaders in the United States, signed a document titled The Protection of Marriage, a Shared Commitment. Marriage, of course, is under assault from beneath and from above and from both sides, people trying to redefine it, people declaring it to be obsolete. Many are living as though it is an obsolete institution. But why is marriage worthy of protection? Why is it vital for our society that marriage be protected? Simple, basic marriage. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest for the next 10 minutes of Issues, etc. Stay tuned.
The shepherds' hearts were full of fear. They shook right in their shoes. But then the angel called to them, "Fear not, I've got good news." Words from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, a children's book, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. You can find out more about this great stocking stuffer at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes and other great Christmas arch books for children by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
How would you like to win the entire 18-book Christmas library of arch books for children? Become a new member of our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, or upgrade your current membership before December 22nd. Your name will be added to a drawing, and the winner will receive an entire set of Christmas arch books for children by Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner Wednesday, December 22nd. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.